Amen. I'm so excited to be amongst family, friends, amen, brothers and sisters, amen, all the way from Philadelphia, Hepzibah, Albany, every Chicago, everywhere. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. He's kept us 5 years. Amen. And everyone that's in here, amen, in some way, shape, or form has been a support for that. So, can you all praise the Lord with us on this afternoon? Your God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hands together. Come on.
certainly I thank God for my beautiful wife. She is not my number one, she is my only one.
If that I may apprehend
not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. I want you to notice the power of memory. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want you to look at someone and tell them that I'm getting beyond things that hold me back. Let us pray. Father, speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm getting beyond things that hold me back. The New Testament is the basic document on which we base our faith, our practice, our hope, and values, and our beliefs. It grows out of the religion of the Old Testament, the old covenant that God made with Israel, and then the new covenant that he makes with us by faith in Israel Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are in the beginning of the New Testament four gospel writers. And these writers give us various facets and elements into the life and ministry of Jesus. These four gospel writers tell us the story of who Jesus is, what he did and what he does for us, and what his relationship to us as believers, and what that relationship should really be. The first three of these gospels takes a similar view, and therefore they are called synoptic gospels. Synoptic simply meaning presenting an account from the same point of view or the same basic vantage point. The material in Matthew, Mark, and Luke are similar. However, each one has a special and unique emphasis on the life of Christ. Matthew, who was a Jewish writer, had been a tax collector, publican, who was called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. In his writings, he maintains his Jewish viewpoints because he quotes extensively from the Old Testament. He wants the Jewish readers to understand that Jesus is in fact and indeed the King of the Jews. So he began with an Old Testament connection by connecting Jesus, his genealogy, to several unique people such as Solomon, Rahab, and Ruth. Then Mark, who was a traveling companion of writes a briefer account of the gospel, and he aims primarily at Roman readers, and he gives us a basic outline of the life of Jesus. He wants us to understand that Jesus is indeed the ideal servant of God who has come to serve us as Lord and Savior of our lives. Luke, on the other hand, was a physician, a medical doctor. He traveled with Paul, and he was involved with many of Paul's missionary journeys. And Luke is a historian who goes back to connect the historical details of the life of Christ in a kind of chronological order. Luke is constantly reminding us that Jesus is the Son of Man, that he is the ideal human being. Through the Son of God, amen, indeed, yet the ultimate human. Luke is trying to appeal to the Greek who are concerned about what mankind is all about, what it means to be a real, ideal human being in every sense of the word. And then the Gospel of John, it takes a totally different approach. The Gospel of John was written some 30 to 35 years after the other gospel writers were in circulation. John, I believe, he got the revelation, understanding the incarnation, hallelujah, because the Bible says in Revelation that he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I don't know about you, but when I hear the word the Lord's day, I'm reminded, and my teaching was that the Lord's day refers to the millennial age. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. In other words, the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord took John up and placed him in the middle of the millennial age. And John had the opportunity to look back to the church age and forward to the new city, Jerusalem. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And as I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, I heard a voice. Hallelujah. And the voice was so unique. The voice was so distinct until John said, I turned to see the voice. Now, whoever turned to see a voice, we turn to see a person. Hallelujah. You don't turn to see a voice. This voice was so distinct that John said that as I turned and being turned, oh glory, he was turning, and then there was another voice that was turning him, and he saw seven golden candlesticks. Glory be to God. And after that, John, he wrote the gospel that bears his name. He said, in the beginning was the Word. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They could talk about old little Bethlehem. They could talk about it. I just leave all of that to those three writers. But I want to take you back to the beginning. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And all things were made by him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And then he said that this Word was made flesh. And it tabernacle. It dwelt among us. He pitched his tent among us. Hallelujah. Not only that, but the Word said that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to many that received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. the Son of God. And so in these four Gospels, we have a full and complete picture of Jesus and what his life and his ministry was all about. Now, when we move from the Gospel to the Epistles, I want you to notice that the Epistles is not the descriptive storyline. The storyline like blind Bartimaeus or circumstances and situations out of which people were delivered. But when you move into the Epistles, it is a philosophical presentation that deals with learning the God that we began to know in the Gospels. Hallelujah. And so now, instead of having the storyline, you begin to learn about the power behind the story. Hallelujah. And so the epistles were written as follow-ups. Hallelujah, in this particular situation to Paul missionary journeys, and their purposes were to further the spiritual growth of churches he founded. And then in Philippians chapter number 3, Paul's theme is the prize for Christian living. And I want you to notice here that the prize for obtaining Christian living has a lot to do with our minds. Say our minds. Think about your mind. Think about your mind for a moment. Your mind has two functions, the memory and the imagination. The purpose of your memory is to replay events in your past. And the purpose of your imagination is to preplay events in your future. Now, memory is a precious gift, for without it, progress would be practically impossible, because memory enables us to carry on the advantages of the past. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. And then on the other hand, there's a downside. Hallelujah. It's often we burden our memory with thoughts. Say thoughts. Hallelujah. Which we cannot help. Hallelujah. But these thoughts, if we let them, they will hinder our future growth and development. Many of us, we had to deal with some, glory be to God, heartache. We find ourselves dealing with some grief, other stumbling blocks. Hallelujah. But I want you to understand, whatever challenge that you are facing right now, I want you to know that I come to offer you some hope. Hallelujah. Hope that things can get better. Hallelujah. Hope that change is about to come. I want to offer you today that the hope that things can improve. When I look at somebody and say, I'm getting beyond things that hold me back. Hallelujah. Many of us, over the years, we can identify with some of the most horrific and traumatic events, heartbreaking events, and circumstances, and situations. And in some cases, we find ourselves, if we're going to be honest, and you might as well be honest, we continue dealing with them today. Hallelujah. Some of us, we find ourselves, we struggle with feeling as a failure, struggle, suffering, emotional, mental, and physical to feel bad, to have a low self-esteem. Glory be to God. And I know that many of us here today have experienced some tough times. Have you ever experienced some tough times? Hallelujah. But I'm here to remind you that you can be completely healed. You can always decide on what you want to do. Hallelujah. You're free. How many of you want to be free today? You got to let it go. You got to let it go. You got to let it go.
Yeah.
support yourself. You want to be blessed, you support your pastor. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
person.
When you set the tabernacle, which was a type, it was shadow of what is transpiring in the New Testament. When you listen, you learn about the tabernacle before they started the service. They had to bring an offering, and they get it at the door. Lord have mercy. They get it at the door. Amen. And I love the way that the tabernacle is set up. Amen. And I love the way that the older saints had the church set up, because it reflected the tabernacle. When you gone, the door will usher back. You would feel bad, all they have to do is look forward, and you'll say, this is something, this dude, in remembrance of me. Had a bad, and you think about what Jesus did. He shed his blood just for you and I. Hallelujah. Without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission of sin. Hallelujah. But we thank God for his blood.
Thank you.